T-Mobile has invested billions to light up America's largest 5G network, from big cities to small towns, including right here in yours. And great coverage is just the beginning. Right now, families and small businesses can save up to 20% versus AT&T and Verizon when they switch. Visit your local T-Mobile store today.
Plan savings with 3 lines of T-Mobile Essentials versus comparable available plans. Plan features and taxes and fees may vary.
New England's going to do what they're going to do, man. Unfortunately, I was one of those guys that they did what they were going to do. It hadn't set well. Hey, is that going to stop them from going? Is it going to stop me from going? No, but I'm not going to sit over here and act like it's not been on my mind and I haven't circled that game years ago. So, look, we're just ready to play.
Patriots, beware. Look out. Stephen Ridley has circled this game on the calendar, Chris. Hold the phones.
Can I go back and change my pick?
Look out. Stephen Ridley says, I'm coming for you, Patriots. I'm still ticked.
Where does he rank on the list of Steelers? How low on the list of, what, the 46 who will play in this game, where he says, I'm on a mission to beat New England, and you just laugh at it?
Randy Fichtner said he has special packages for Mr. Ridley.
Above or below Arthur Burns on that list?
Oh, he's better than Burns. He's had success in the NFL, which is more than I can say of Artie. The Fan Hotline is brought to you by Wright Automotive, the best deal in town. We've got a highly successful talk show host in Boston and New England on the telephone. He hosts for CBS Sports Radio on Saturdays. He's a Western Pennsylvania native. I'm a huge fan of this guy. Andy Gresh is with us. Andy, what do you think of Stephen Ridley talking a little trash?
I think Stephen Ridley clearly doesn't understand the business of the NFL by now. He's still squawking about being butthurt because the Patriots didn't hand him a contract a couple years ago. I mean, it's real simple. And I know they drafted one in the first round this year, guys, but, you know, normally running backs, especially in New England, you know, they're treated like underwear. You just change them, or it's a soda machine. You press a button and another one comes down and there you go, and they find a way to integrate them. So it is rather funny that even after all these years, Stephen Ridley is holding a grudge. Kind of cracks me up.
I feel like it's not going to go as well for Stephen Ridley's team as it did for Deion Lewis, who at least waited until his team won the game to talk about, you know, being cheap. I would ask you this, Andy. How mad were people, how shocked were people up there with what happened at the end of the Miami game and the fact that they actually had Gronkowski out on the field? How jarring was that? Because in Pittsburgh, we're used to inexplicable coaching decisions.
Well, I don't have an issue with the coaching decision, and I've fought with people on this who don't get it, clearly. I broke this play down for television, guys. It starts here. There are three rushers, and there's one linebacker. That linebacker, Kyle Van Noy, did a terrible job of chasing Kenyon Drake down the field or getting in his way. Number two, when the ball was thrown by Tannehill on a 15-yard in cut, did anybody happen to notice that a defensive player named Jonathan Jones could have made the tackle,
yep,
but didn't? Oh,
yep.
No. But Gronk's back there, so that's why. And then J.C. Jackson was chasing Drake all around the field like they were playing tag. You had defensive linemen on the backside who weren't hustling to be able to make the tackle, but everyone has turned it into that it's the worst coaching decision since Belichick went for it on 4th-and-2 in Indianapolis a bunch of years ago when they thought they couldn't stop Peyton Manning, when in reality there were 10 other defensive players on the field and 8 of them had the ability to get near the guy and make the tackle, but everybody is going to go for the low-hanging fruit because it's, well, if McCourty were back there, he would have made the play. I'm not even so sure of that, for crying out loud. So, you know, they've done it before. Could Tannehill throw the ball 65 yards from the 30-yard line? That means it lands around the 5, and you want someone back there to knock it down. Whether it was Gronk or Josh Gordon, they would have put someone back there. So, to me, the rubes who just want to make it easy to get on Belichick or the team focus on Gronk, when the real football people look at all the defensive players who made a ton of mistakes on that play and blame them.
We're talking to Andy Gresh, a longtime host up in New England, worked on the Patriots radio network for a long time. All right, so let me ask a real football guy this question. This Patriots defense, is it any good?
It's not classically good, I'll tell you that. they have the ability to hang in what is considered decent defense in the modern day NFL. I mean, guys, this is sort of the watershed year for how you evaluate defense in the league. Like, it's great that Baltimore's defense is number one, but part of that is because Lamar Jackson has, what, 9 quarterback than they would for Joe Flacco. But I think there are a lot of teams who we thought traditionally would have good defenses that I think we can put in that situation. They're not great, but I think the way Belichick looks at it is, I don't care about the yards. I care about the points. Give me some key third down stops and be decent in the red zone, and our offense should be able to put up enough points to do the rest.
How do the Patriots, how does everybody up there, Andy, view the Pittsburgh Steelers? Is it like the Steelers view the Bengals, like as a just laughable tomato can that they're going to beat every single time?
Yeah, it's not laughable tomato can. I know there is respect. And look,
why? The Patriots are their daddy. Why would they I'm serious, because I'm a Pittsburgher who doesn't respect the Steelers at all when they play the Patriots. Why? Why would they have any respect for a team they beat like a drum?
Part of the reason the Pittsburgh Steelers are in the position they're in every year is because they go in and out in respecting their opponent. So it doesn't matter what we think on the outside. We look at it and make it very simplistic. Bill Belichick never goes in and stands at the podium and goes, well, the Bills suck, so we're going to whip them and we'll just get ready to move on to Cincinnati. There's never any of that. And that's the part that I think everybody misses, guys, is that this team treats they hype everybody up like they're a Super Bowl contender. Did anybody ever think that maybe that's part of the reason why they're consistent? Is because they never let their mind waver. They never let their mind slip. And look, sometimes the players go out, and clearly they don't respect an opponent, and they play down. To me, that's a problem in Pittsburgh. Looking at them from afar, they play up and they play down. Yep. That's because there isn't consistent respect for the opponent. So I think Belichick sells them on it. And I'll tell you this, coming off a game where in the last 7 seconds they ended up losing, you better bet your bippy they're going to be paying real attention to detail this week, because Belichick is going to take that 7 seconds and stick it where, you know, to get their attention.
Most of the stats this year, if you look at the numbers, Brady is not near the top of the league like he was last year. He took that sack at the end of the first half against the Dolphins that might have cost him the game, Andy. People have overlooked that play, at least outside of New England. So what Brady are we getting on Sunday? What's the key to beating this guy? Is it the same as it's ever been, pressure up the middle, or are you seeing some evidence that he slipped and cracked this year?
Yeah, it's still the pressure, Pony. They got to get after him, and they got to get after him up the middle, move him off the spot. That's the way to be able to get after New England. However, if you go to my Twitter, @TheRealGresh, I retweeted something yesterday that after week 5, once Julian Edelman got back, there's a set of metrics that you can look at for Tom Brady in terms of passing yards per game, yards per attempt, where once Edelman got back, Brady was playing at a great level. I think part of the reason the touchdowns are down is because they'll give it to James Devlin. They'll give it to Sony Michel. They'll hand the ball off around the goal line. Brady's demise is greatly exaggerated. That now, there isn't a 41-year-old on the planet that doesn't slip in some way. And, yes, he does miss some throws now that make you go, wow, he wouldn't have done that 4 or 5 years ago. But the numbers overall, the touchdowns are down. But the numbers overall are still pretty much in accordance with what we see from Tom Brady, a normal Tom Brady year, guys. Not like 07 Tom Brady where, you know, they were like the greatest show on turf. I'm talking about what he would normally produce. But I think, in all honesty, not having Edelman the first 4 weeks, then integrating Josh Gordon, then having Gronk go out, this is the first time this whole group has really been on the field together since the bye week, and they're starting to find it.
Oh, great. Well, they're going to have to really deal with Artie Burns, so they better get ready. Andy, are you a
believer? Real quick on that, one of my keys on TV this week, my number one key was find Artie Burns on third down and pick on him.
Oh, you're doing your homework.
I'm not kidding.
They might as well. He's terrible.
Stinks.
He's terrible. Awful. They might as well put an Anthony Smith 27 jersey on him so Brady really gets fired up. Here's my question to you. Yeah, I know. Does this team, it very famously said about the Patriots, they've never gone under Brady and Belichick from wild card weekend to a Super Bowl. Do they need that first round bye in your mind realistically to actually win one this year?
No question about it. I think that that is one of the more underrated things about this run for New England is how many times they get the bye. Winning 12 games every year. I mean, it's stupid when you say it and verbalize it and think about it. And there was, what, 1 year with 11, and that was with Matt Castle in 2008. But, yes, absolutely. Getting the bye, absolutely critical for this team. They've got to spell Gronk. They've got to rest Brady. And that's where old Bill B. Hoodsworth gets in the lab and starts to cook up all those schemes. And he and Ernie Adams go in their bunker at Gillette Stadium and sit there and comb through reams of info and reams of video. That's where that process of those guys being good really starts.
Andy Gresh, check him out, CBS Sports Radio, radio.com app. Find him there, cbssportsradio.com. Does a great job. Andy, thanks for coming on with us today, brother. I appreciate it.
Guys, anytime. I appreciate it. Have fun, and I would love to go to Isley's and get a Chip Chop Ham with you guys someday.
Wow. You a Chip Chop Ham guy, Pony?
Yes. Who isn't? Thank you, Andy, for that.
Brian sure as hell Pony is a Chip Chop Ham guy.
I have to be. Yeah, thank you, Andy, for that.
See you, man.
Guys.
See ya.
We really need new phones.
T-Mobile will cover the cost of four amazing new iPhone 15s, and each line is only $25 a month.
New iPhone 15s? It's better
over here. Only at T-Mobile, get four iPhone 15s on us and four lines for $25 per line per month with eligible trade-in when you switch.
Minimum of 4 lines for $25 per line per month with auto pay discount using debit or bank account. $5 more per line without auto pay, plus taxes and fees. Phone fee at 24 monthly bill credits for well qualified customers. Contact us before canceling account to continue bill credits or credit stop and balance on required finance agreement due. $35 per line connection charge applies. See T-Mobile.com.